Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's an issue you'd like to discuss or a Bible question we can answer, we invite your call now. That toll-free number is 844-322-2742. Again, toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to start off the broadcast today with a question. Which covenant do we live in today as believers in Christ? Are we old covenant people or are we new covenant people? And I think as you read the Word of God, you will see that the Word of God is very clear that believers in Christ are new covenant believers.
Yes.
That's the covenant that governs our relationship with God. And we entered into that new covenant through faith in Jesus Christ. This is one of the eight key truths that every Christian needs to know. And I think of the eight, this is the one that is most confused and is most misunderstood. Why? Because we try to blend the old with the new. Certainly the old was good. It was given to the people of Israel by God. There's the Ten Commandments that stands as the centerpiece of that covenant. And so we want to take all that we think is good out of that old covenant and combine it with everything that is good in the new covenant, and we just come up with a mess. And what God wants us to see is that the old covenant was with the people of Israel. It was a covenant between God and the nation. It didn't include Gentiles, but he used that in a spiritual way for all people to show us our need for Christ. Once that need has been established, once we understand that we're sinners, that we're dead spiritually, and we turn to Christ, the old covenant has done its work. The law has done its work. And now we are introduced to this new life that's contained in this new covenant. So the old is set aside. And God is the one that set it aside. We're not setting it aside.
Yes.
That's what the writer of Hebrews says. That old covenant has been set aside. Who set it aside? God did. Why? Because it fulfilled its purpose. Now we're in this new covenant in which we are led internally by the Spirit of God. So it's a very important truth for us to grab hold of. We are new covenant believers. Once you recognize the purpose of the old and the fact that you're in the new, the Christian life starts to make sense.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just a confusing mess. I mean, just a big old bowl of spaghetti that you can't figure out how it all is supposed to work. So we have to embrace the fact that we are new covenant believers. Now, as we talk about this, and we'll get to our phone calls in just a few minutes, we need to recognize that this new covenant had a starting point. The old covenant had an ending point, and the new covenant had a starting point. So, Richard, tell us a little bit about the ending point of the old covenant and the starting point of the new, and how that applies to us on a day-to-day basis.
Well, thankfully, it's one and the same event. The old covenant, in its entirety, pointed forward to Jesus, who is the Messiah. As far as Israel was concerned, it was just pointing to Messiah because they didn't know who that was going to be. Jesus shows up and says, I'm Messiah. And when he died, the moment he died, the old covenant was complete and the new covenant was ushered in. And the writer to Hebrews tells us that you have to prove the death of the one who died in order for a covenant to be ratified. Well, we have the proof of Jesus' death in his burial. He was in there in the grave for the required period of time, according to all of Jewish law and everything else that he fulfilled, and then he was raised from the dead. So the moment he died, the old covenant was finished, the new covenant was ratified and went into effect.
So the cross is the place of change.
The cross is the place of change.
So the old was fulfilled, completed, the new ushered in, ratified by that shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's an amazing truth. We encourage you to grab hold of it. If you have questions about the new covenant, if you have questions about which covenant you live in, we invite you to call today. This is one of the most important topics, biblical truths that you can wrestle with, question, but come to grips with it.
Yes.
And declare yourself to be a new covenant believer.
If you've got that question, we encourage you to call, as Bob said, right now to 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and in Canada. Toll free, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go and talk to Rob in Fredericksburg, Virginia, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Bob.
Welcome. What's on your mind today?
Oh, geez. I got one quick question first.
Okay.
Okay. Geez, I've been trying to call, see a Billy. She hasn't answered.
She is off today, not feeling well. So that's why you've missed her today.
Okay. The second is that, how do I truly trust God?
Okay. How do you trust God, or how do you trust God more, type of thing? I think that's a very interesting question, and I think it's something that we all want to try to figure out. How do I trust God more? It's interesting. Jesus said if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could move mountains and do all of those sort of things. So it's really not the size of our faith, is it, Richard? That's not an issue here. It's the size of our God, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and learning to trust God really is a learning exercise. I trusted him for salvation at one point, and I thought that was just the greatest thing, the most amount of trust I could ever have. And then I discovered that was step one of day one. And as I get to know Jesus more and more and more, I have learned to trust him more and more and more. And so I had to learn things like to stop focusing on my behavior and to start focusing on what Jesus has accomplished. I had to start focusing on my identity, who I am as a child of God. I had to start focusing on the new covenant instead of the old things we're talking about this month. The reason we think they are the eight core issues is they really speak into every aspect of our lives together with Jesus. And so I can honestly say now that I trust Jesus, I trust God more now than I ever have in my life, and I can also say absolutely that I haven't even scratched the surface of what it means to trust him.
Yeah, and you're probably not concentrating too much on the trust side of things. It's that response to God's initiative in your life. So it all gets back down, Rob, to this simple truth of how the Christian life works. It is by grace through faith. So something about the grace of God that God pours out upon us in Christ engenders that response of faith inside of us. So the more our eyes are focused on Jesus, we'll see that faith grow. But the real issue is keeping those eyes on Christ, his love for you, his mercy for you. That's what makes a difference in our day-to-day experience and our day-to-day willingness to trust him. Well, Rob, we sure appreciate your call as always. Thank you, my friend. Well, let's go to Eugene, Oregon, and talk with Steve, listening to us on KORE. Hi, Steve.
Hi, I appreciate you taking the call here.
You're so welcome. Thanks for calling.
The question was, I'm just kind of looking for the significance in the Dome of the Rock or the Temple in Jerusalem, the significance for the Christians versus the Muslims and the Jews, and what that means to us at the Dome of the Rock, if that makes any sense.
Well, it is. It does. And Steve, the Dome of the Rock, it's quite an ornate building, the gold dome. It's just the centerpiece of Jerusalem when you look at a picture. And it sits on top of the Temple Mount, where the temple would have been 2,000 years ago, the temple that was torn down and no stone left upon another. So when Muhammad entered the scene around 600 A.D., he was bringing in a new religious belief system. He robbed a lot out of the Old Testament and came up with his own thinking, and he saw himself as a prophet of God. But he wanted to somehow show that it was just a continuation. So he had an architect design the Dome of the Rock to look much like the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. It has a dome as well. So when people looked at it, they would see architecturally that it seems similar. So that's why it was designed the way it was. But it holds significance to Muslims because they say from that place, Muhammad had this horse ride up into heaven, and you know, there's an elaborate tale there. But it's just a mosque. It's a shrine, and it just sits on top of the Temple Mount. And that area is being contested. There's a lot of tension. Of course, the Jews would like to have control of that area, so that they can build the third temple. Christians just find it a significant spot because Jesus, you know, his life was lived around that, and he would have entered into the temple and would have overthrown the money changers there and would have taught there. And it was very close by that he was probably tried and then sentenced to crucifixion. So all of that is significant as far as the life of Jesus Christ and the good news taking place in close proximity to where that Dome of the Rock is right now.
So the building itself as it sits was designed by Muhammad or his architects?
That is correct. And it was built around, you know, in the 600s, 600 years after Jesus.
Right. I've also heard the remarks that it was where they think Abraham may have took Isaac.
Well, Mount Moriah, they certainly, and there's, you know, there you look at the place, there's a rock in the middle of it, the Dome of the Rock, and it looks like a place of sacrifice. And so they, you know, would say that's probably where that took place. So that is significant. Of course, the Muslims would say that he sacrificed Ishmael. So the whole story has been rewritten to show that Ishmael was the chosen son.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking time for that.
Hey, you're welcome, Steve. And I love those types of questions. Yeah. As a matter of fact, we're going to try to get back to Israel, take a ministry trip there. It looks like early in 2017. So if anybody's interested in that, please let us know. Just drop us an email, bob@basicgospel.net. Tell us of your interest. We'll put you on a list. And when we get all the details, we'll send out that information. So thanks for your question, Steve. We sure appreciate it.
Right. Yeah, one of the things that we talk about quite often here is the beauty of giving. The grace of giving, the impressions that God brings to bear in our own minds in support of the gospel. And we have the privilege of sharing the gospel on radio every day, through the internet, through books, through just all kinds of things. And we know that this message, it's not our message, it's the message of Jesus Christ. We know that it bears fruit. You've heard the calls yourselves over the last few weeks, people coming to Jesus, people getting answers to questions that have been bugging them for years, perhaps. And it's our privilege to do that. But we also have to pay to do that. And what we're asking of people is that you will see supporting Basic Gospel as a means of investing in the lives of people around you. You may be able to reach someone by radio, by supporting us, that you would never be able to reach otherwise. I mean, think about it. I mean, this program goes into jails and prisons. It goes into schools. It goes into people at work who are listening, you know, quietly on speakers or on headphones. People hear this via podcasting afterwards. This message goes out in an amazing number of ways, and God uses it creatively to reach people with the hope of the grace of God in Christ. And if you could see your way clear to ask God how much should I give? We would be appreciative. We're not going to tell you how much. That's between you and God. It is your privilege to support us as we all share in sharing this gospel of Jesus Christ with people around us. So give if you can, and we thank you in advance.
We do indeed. And when you make that decision, friends, we hope you will go online to basicgospel.net. There's a donate link on every page on our website at basicgospel.net, or speak with our operator toll-free 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with Martin, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Martin.
Well, hello there, brother.
Well, hello to you. What's on your mind today?
Well, I want to say, first of all, thanks for this program. It's really an encouragement. I know I haven't been calling in a while, but I had other things to do for the Lord. But I still kept you in prayer.
Well, we sure appreciate that, my friend. We really do.
Yeah, and the Lord allowed me to call today. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I guess I'll get back to the topic. I'd like to, for that, you know, if I give an explanation regarding John 10:11, where we read, Jesus said, "I'm a good shepherd. A good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." I explain that to the brothers and sisters out there. What do you mean by that?
Well, the good shepherd, he's just making a claim about himself and what he's really come to do. He's going to be the one that lays down his life so that you and I can receive life. And then once we've been made new, once we've been made alive in Christ, he really shepherds us. He's the one that leads us and guides us. He's the great overseer of our souls. So that's the job of the shepherd, to help us find pasture. And he just leads us to himself, actually.
Yes. And by the way, that does match with another verse that I had in mind. I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:17, if I'm not mistaken, where it tells us, "Any man who is in Christ be a new creation."
That's right.
And it tells us, yeah, that's a good verse as well.
Yeah, that's one of those signature verses in the New Testament. You just read it and it's like, "Oh my gosh. Did I just understand what he was saying there, uh-huh, that now I'm a new creature in Christ? Something has happened to me." And I think that is so important, Martin, for us to understand, because so often we just think of something that was done for us that is going to allow us to enter into heaven when we die. But the gospel does something to us and inside of us. We're born again of the Spirit of God. So we entered into this world through birth, and now through new birth, we enter into the kingdom. And as members of this kingdom of God, we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. And Jesus is our shepherd. He's the one that leads us and guides us. And he does so with loving kindness, with tenderness, with mercy, so we can trust that where he leads will be to our best benefit.
Amen.
Well, Martin, we appreciate your call, my friend. Thank you for your prayers. We greatly appreciate that.
Yes.
Martin, we're going to be in New York City in October 23rd and 24th, the Day of Boldness, which WMCA is sponsoring. We'll have a listener event on Friday night, October 23rd, and then our ministry, Basic Gospel, is hosting a conference, the Simply Grace Tour at the King's College. We would love to see you there, and love to put you on hold, and we can give you more information about that. Or any one of our listeners can go to basicgospel.net and find out all the information about these upcoming events in New York City.
Yeah.
You hold on. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, just click that events tab at basicgospel.net. All the information will be right there at your fingertips, or right before your eyes, I guess.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Idaho and talk to Lavana, listening to us on KBGN. Hi, Lavana.
Good afternoon. I was wondering, at the beginning of your program, you said that Jesus' death was the beginning of the new covenant. And is it is that when the new covenant begins, or is it at Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit?
Well, it's at the death, and the reason I say that, LaVonna, is because we're talking in terms of a will. So you hopefully have a will where you have laid out how your what's going to happen to your assets at your death. And when you die, and when proof of your death is available, that's when your will goes into effect. So if you have children, LaVonna, and they know that you have left them each $100,000, they'd love to get their hands on it now, but that's not going to happen until you die. And the moment you die, that will is now in effect. An attorney can call them in, they can read the will, and then they can distribute the assets. So it went into effect the moment Jesus died. Now, as far as the benefits being passed on to us, that happened at Pentecost when the gift of the Holy Spirit was given. So it went into effect at the cross. We received the benefit of it on the day of Pentecost. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I kind of thought, now when Jesus said that it is finished, does that mean that that's his, as the man here, Jesus the man here on earth, he has finished what he came to do? And then, but he has not, you know, the three parts of the Trinity, he is not through, he is not finished. Like it goes on with the Holy Spirit, and he appears in other forms.
Yeah. Well, his work, his work, LaVonna, as far as finishing it, had to do with the sin issue. As John the Baptist said, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God had prepared a body for him, and that body was going to be sacrificed, was going to be offered up once and for all to take away your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. So at the cross, as Jesus was coming to the very end, he cried out, and it's a victory cry. It is finished. The goal has been accomplished. He has reached the end. He has carried out the will of the Father on behalf of mankind. There was nothing more for him to do at that particular point. And he breathed his last. He died. At that moment, the new covenant is now in effect. And then we receive the benefit of it when we come to Christ individually. But as far as historically is concerned, it was at the giving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah, yeah, check out Hebrews chapter 9, starting around verse 15 and on to the end of the chapter for what we're talking
Hebrews
about.
Hebrews 9:15.
And following, yeah.
All right.
About Jesus and his death and the covenant and all that.
You're welcome, LaVonna. Hey, thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it. And, you know, we're going to start a Friday teaching series, I think October 2nd, and we're going to be working through the New Covenant journey, and we're going to be taking a deeper look at these eight key truths. So if you would like to follow along as we teach through this series, we encourage you to go to our website and get a copy of this study guide, The New Covenant Journey.
You can find it at store.basicgospel.net, and just click the study guide section there. You'll find the New Covenant Journey, and we hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity. It'll be a wonderful study, and we want you to take part in it. As Richard was saying, the importance of giving through this ministry could not be more important, I guess you could say, because you've heard over the past weeks, you've heard people coming into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've heard people getting help and getting clarity for their particular situation. So we encourage you to give. Let's keep the good news coming. And for a gift of any amount, you'll get a copy of Bob Christopher's CD series, The Power of Eight, Transforming Truths Every Believer Should Know. You can do that by going to basicgospel.net, click donate on any page. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.